Matthew 4. Let's go to Matthew 4 for a moment. This is just something that's in my heart, that we keep vision before us. And really, it's hope, you know, that we don't let our hope die. We all know that in Galatians 6, that he said that we will reap what if we sow to the Spirit and we don't faint, we're going to reap. What are we going to reap? We're going to reap from the Spirit. We're not going to reap from the flesh, but we're going to reap from the Spirit. And many of you that are here right now, you've been sowing to the Spirit, and you're already beginning to reap from the Spirit of God, from the truth of God, from the doctrine of God. We've heard a lot about doctrine, and people say, well, what's doctrine really? Well, doctrine is basically teaching, or what the Bible teaches. Okay? It's what the Bible teaches, what the Bible, what God says. And we believe that what God says by the Holy Ghost is the truth. Amen? This is the inspired word of the living God, and we need to take God's word as the final say-so in our life, regardless of what's happening around you. If I could stand here today and tell you all the things that the devil told me yesterday and the day before and last week and 6 months ago, we could be here for a long time. But who cares what he says? Amen? That's why we have the Word of God to govern our lives by, so we're not bound to the flesh and what the enemy has to say. Because he may come, but he can't stay. Because all authority's been given us, and we drive him away with the word of the living God. We allow that shield of faith to stand and say, no, I am a son of the living God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm always overcoming. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I cannot lose because I'm winning, because my Father loves me, and I'm a love child of a love God, and he's not going to leave me where I've come. He's not going to stop taking me in from here. He didn't bring me this far to leave us alone. He's called us to be strong. Many times, and many of the words that have come forth have been, be strong, amen, in the Lord, not in ourself, not in me. Who am I? I'm a son, I'm an heir, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's who we are. We know that. Is this the born again class? Hallelujah, amen. We've been born again quite a long time, and we're still working on it, amen. That truth is deep. It's very important to grasp hold of, because there's a lot of people in the body of Christ. We have a very shallow understanding of being born again. Well, I confess Jesus, you know, or I prayed the prayer and I know I'm born again. We're not really realizing you've been changed. You went from darkness to light, from the power of the devil to the kingdom of God. You went from being lost and unable to overcome, to being an overcomer, to someone that has overcome, to let the overcomer come and make his home on the inside of you. You're not just an adopted child, you become an actual son as you walk with him. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't just, you know, we are actually born, right? That word, when we look at it, in John 3, Jesus says, you must be born again, or born from above, amen? Born from your Father. Jesus was the firstborn. What does that mean? He took upon him every sin of every man, of all humanity, was laid upon him once for all, paid the price for it, that anyone, whosoever shall come and call on the name of the Lord may be saved. They may be delivered from sin completely. No longer to bother them again. In the Old Testament, yes, it's covered. They were saved, or we could say saved, or going to be with God forever by what? Believing in the coming Messiah. But when the Messiah comes, you have him. Amen? We have him. He is here. That nature has been changed. We're not the same. We're not the sinner saved by grace, but we're the child of the King. We're that joint heir with Christ. He was the one that went first. He came. He chose. He said, I'm going to the earth. I'm going to purchase my man. I'm going to buy him back. I'm going to redeem him. Let's buy him back, purchase him, pay the price in full, completely and totally. He didn't do that to leave you half saved. If you're a sinner saved by grace, then you're only half saved. Isn't that true? You wouldn't be fully saved. You'd only be half saved because you still got sin. But you can't sin because you're born of God. He's talking about the nature. That's what 1 John was talking about. He says, you can't continue in sin. You're not going to keep sinning. If you're born again, you're free from sin. You can't sin anymore. Because I'm not saying that you can't couldn't commit a sin. But he's talking about from your nature is righteous before the Father. It's no longer bound to sin. You don't have to live in sin any longer. You don't have to do wrong actions any longer. You have been made free. The Bible says that the power of God comes to as many as received him. To them, they receive what? The power to become that son of God, that child of the King, that joint heir with Jesus, that more than a conqueror, that always overcomer. That means victory is already ours and we are becoming that victory. Hallelujah. We're walking in it. We're walking to it. You are somebody going somewhere to happen to set men free. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know why I'm all on it, but I'm on it today. Hallelujah. I think we're in the born again trail class. Hallelujah. And it's real good too. I like it. I'm getting better. Praise the Lord. He's getting better. I should say. I'm letting him work. That's why. I've been praying. Amen. How about you? Beginning of, I think it was 2016, the Lord said, he talked about the word that said, what's the hurry? Why are you in such a hurry? In other words, he was saying, what he's saying, I don't think he was saying not to do anything, but don't get in such a hurry, even in your daily life. But come, I'm wooing you. I'm drawing you. Come, spend that time with me. Why? Because he longs for our fellowship. He longs for us to be everything we can be in him, that he can be everything through us to the world. Amen? Hallelujah. But we're going somewhere with him. Amen? He's going to guide and lead us into all truth. Not error, but truth. And that's why it's talked about doctrine, and it's many times in the scriptures, they're warned against, you know, be sure you have sound doctrine. It's stable, it's sure, it's a foundation that cannot be moved. And if you're going to this church, you should have sound doctrine. Now listen, if it's not in the Bible, it's not God. Very simple. And you say, well, you're serious about that? I'm absolutely serious. I'm dead serious. I'm alive serious. I'm not supposed to say dead. I'm very much alive because God's alive about it. The truth is what set us free. It set us free from sin, the truth of Jesus, and all that he purchased, which is available to every person upon the earth. If they receive Jesus, they can have everything that God is right now. Who is he? Who is he? He's God, right? He owns it all. He's good. He's faithful. He's just. He's fair. Right? Merciful. All-knowing. All-powerful. All things are possible to them that believe. When we believe his word, there's nothing that can't happen. His word cannot lie. Impossible. It is impossible that we do not have everything that he said we can have if we'll continue to believe. But this is what's on my heart, that we don't grow weary in well-doing. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is stepping up his attack. That's exactly what's happening in many of you, your lives. You continue to press in, it seems like something else happens. I just got out of debt and something else happened. You didn't know what to do. God, I don't have a choice right now. I'm going to have to get this taken care of. Maybe you had to go back into debt for a minute. But praise God, he is faithful. And he's still good and he's still the provider. He's still that provider. You keep pressing in. We keep speaking the word of God. Not that we're in lack, but that we have the abundance. Father, I thank you for what you did provide and how you led me to be able to take care of this for right now. But I know there's a better day coming. Amen. Let's not stop at that place. Sometimes people have faith. They get, you know, they get payment faith, you know. But we can have paid off faith. Hallelujah. Not only paid for faith, but paying somebody else's faith. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. What about that? Amen. He might want you to pay some other church off for him. You know, it's only half a million. He might, like, I remember what Gary said one time. He might want you to pay your neighbor's rent, your sinner neighbor's rent. Well, how long you want me to do that, Lord? Till I tell you to stop. It might be 3 years later. But you know what? You start paying his rent, I promise you, a few months down the line, he's probably going to be real happy with you. You know, he might at least listen to you. He might not be nice to you, but he might listen to you. He might hear the gospel of Jesus. He might be born again. That's the God life that lives on the inside of us. That's the nature that we have, the nature of love. Hallelujah. Because God is that love. He is that all-knowing one. I haven't forgotten where I'm at. I'm just, hallelujah. Maybe I got a little rabbit trail for somebody. I don't know. But praise the Lord. But don't forget, he's faithful. He is a faithful Father. It said, the Bible says, even if you're unfaithful, he can't deny himself. He will remain faithful. Faithful to what? To what he said he would do. God will perform his word. He watches over his word to perform it. He's not afraid of your circumstance. He's not afraid of your stronghold. He's not afraid of your flesh. Yeah, but you just don't understand. Yes, I do. I got flesh just like you. Maybe yours is a little bigger than mine. But praise the Lord, we still got flesh. We all have to deal with it. We all are going to deal with it till Jesus comes. And it's not just us denying the flesh, but we're dying to the flesh. That's something that the Lord's been speaking to me about. Because see, a lot of people can deny the flesh. And they may deny it for 10 years. They may deny it for 20 years. The devil doesn't care. He's going to come. He doesn't care if it takes 20 years. He wants to stop you and destroy you. You know, like I think Alan was talking about. He says, you know, he's got that 5-year plan for you. The devil's got that 10-year plan for you. He's also got the 20 and 30-year plan for you. But God's got his plan that's going to defeat the devil's plan because he'll show you things to come. He's going to help you die now. Continue to press in. Everybody says, well, I think I died a lot. You probably have. You may have died a whole lot. And that's wonderful. We need to keep, though. We need to keep pressing. Because God is talking about that right now is a time of intensity. This is a time that we're pressing in. This is what the Lord has been speaking to us. That it's time to continue to do the work that he has called us unto. And more. We want to see the people, you know, if you want to see people saved, you got to talk to them about the gospel. You got to say, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? I remember Pastor Barbara, she'd tell everybody, are you born again? Good to meet you. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus? I'm just like that. Amen. Well, I don't have much boldness. Well, pray. Paul said, pray for me that I would have boldness, that I may speak forth the word of God. That's how boldness comes, from prayer and asking for it. You ask God for boldness, he'll give it to you. We're not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I don't care who they are or who the person may be. We need to be bold. Say, I know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I want you to know Jesus. You know, most of the time that's what you get. You know, well, you know, I used to smoke, you know, and they hold their cigarettes behind their back, you know. And you didn't say a thing about smoking or a thing about them drinking. People, most people know when they're sinners. They really do. They know they're doing wrong if they hear the word of God, you know. A lot of times, well, brother, I go to church. I've been baptized. Well, do you follow his commands? You follow Jesus' commands? Most of the time they're like, oh, man. Well, I don't, You know, they know they're not following his commands, you know. Most of the time people know when they're not following God's commands because they know that God's not a person that lies. You know, if there is God, certainly he wouldn't lie, you know. Suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit convicts them. See, it's not our job to convict people. It's not my job to get people saved, really. It's my job to speak the word of God. And the Bible says, by the foolishness of preaching, men are saved. It's amazing. You know, he said he'd take the base things, those that are lower, you know. And I think one of the words in there is moronic, like a moron, you know. And that's where I got a lot of hope. Even if you're a moron, you can lead somebody to Jesus. God will use you. Amen. But the born-again nature that we received set us so free. You know, I mean, it gives us hope. That's what God says I use. I use those that are base, that are less than. What? To confound the wise. What are the wise? Those that think they know. Some people think they know the way. They think they know the truth. And some people in the church think they found God and they never confessed Jesus. Maybe they sang in the choir, maybe they taught Sunday school class, but they themselves never confessed the Lord Jesus. I just, thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you. Anyway, we never did read our scripture, so we're going to keep going. Hallelujah. Let's just flow with him, amen. But we're going to a place in him where all things are possible. And I believe, ultimately, it's that place of complete love of the Father. Where we reside in his love. Where his mind flows freely. Where the same nature that's in Christ is truly manifest in and through us. Where all men see. When he speaks with authority. I mean, when they looked at Jesus, it was different. It wasn't the same as they're used to hearing from the other priests and the other people that were speaking in the temple. It was different. They recognized it. And I believe sinners ought to see something different about the church. They don't listen to the worldly music, amen? Oh boy. Somebody said, well, I just like this kind of music. That's nice. But I found that most people that never change their music don't grow very much in God. I'm just being honest. So, well, he's never talked to me about it. Well, I can show you in the Bible. It's probably, you know, good for you to change it. Okay? Because he says we're not to be what? Conformed to the world any longer. We've been freed from that. And if you pray in tongues some, he'll start dealing with you even more on that. Maybe he's already dealt with you, but you said, well, I wasn't sure. So you pray in tongues, see, and it lights that spirit man begins to really get stronger. And that voice gets a little louder. And your conscience becomes more alive, amen? So if you think you've squelched your conscience and you're not hearing anything, pray in tongues. Take an hour, take two, take three, take a day. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, what is that? I remember one time I was dealing with something. I don't know. But it just seemed like something's not right. Lord, what do I need? What's wrong with me? So I just start praying in tongues. Holy Ghost said, you need an attitude adjustment. Oh. You know, it didn't take very long, just your attitude. Especially when God speaks to you. Get it straight. You know, I'm not telling you I heard words. I didn't hear words. I just knew. It was a knowing on the inside of me. It was my spirit speaking to me. What you need is an attitude adjustment, son. Oh, yeah. And then I recognize, oh, I guess I didn't have a very good attitude right there, you know, right now. Okay, Lord, I'm going to change my attitude. Amen. Anybody ever got in trouble because you did something, you had the wrong attitude? Mama said, no, you stomped off and that wasn't good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. She said, I'm going to adjust your attitude. Go stand in the corner, put your nose right there, and I don't want to see you turn around once. Well, how long am I going to stand there? Till I tell you you're done. Till your attitude adjusts. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God doesn't do that with us physically, but He takes His Word and He brings the Word of God to bring light to us so we see the truth. Something other than this flesh, this natural man, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear, all of these things in the natural that come against that war against our spirit. That Word of God gives us the truth that we may govern our lives by it, that we can walk in it. And I know you know that. But sometimes we have to remind ourselves. And that's the other thing the Lord's put on my mind. He says, I want you to remind us. And He'll remind me. He's been reminding me of some things. Because we're human and we tend to forget. Most of us have forgotten more than we've learned. You know, or about almost as much. You know, we've been studying this book, this Bible. You know, we only got one. Well, we got 66 books. But I mean, it's, you know, when you think about it, it's not that big, you know. Somebody gets saved 20 years, they ought to at least read it at least 3 or 4 times, you'd think. You know, but we got preachers that haven't read the Bible once. They're preaching the Bible. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying there's people, you know, that puts the sheep in a pretty bad shape. You know, where does that put us? This book is worth. I remember Dave would say it's worthy of you reading it more than once. You know, we talk about 50 times, but it's worth more than that. It's settled forever in heaven. Now, I'm not saying that somebody has to read, all, you know, every single word in the Bible to be a minister, or be able to share the gospel or share their testimony to get somebody born again. You know, you may not read any scripture and give your testimony and let them to Jesus. Sometimes that's a good thing because, you know, you don't know what to say. I don't know what to say, but I tell you, I gave my heart to Jesus. And, you know, and they'll wash them right into the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, it's wonderful. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but I know I gave my heart to Jesus and He saved me. Why? Because the Spirit bore witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. The great Holy Spirit bore witness with our new nature, the nature of Christ that we received when we were born again. And that nature was enough to free us from sin. And then beyond that, we can receive the Holy Spirit who will help empower that nature to be a service to God. Amen. He said you receive power when the Holy Spirit's upon you, that you can be what? A witness. A witness of what? Of who He is. Because the Holy Spirit begins to bring that truth. You know, I mean, I was born again quite a while before I received, well, quite a while, I say that. Gee, I was like 17 or 18. Maybe I was 19 when I received the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, I wouldn't say I hadn't received the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to say that because, you know, I hadn't prayed in tongues. However, I had asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and I believed I was filled. Because people would ask me, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, absolutely. And I believed that with all my heart. I just didn't understand the tongues part. You know, nobody really, you know, I thought for a while some people prayed in tongues and some didn't. I was just being honest. I thought, well, this is what the Bible said, you know, and I had like maybe 2 scriptures, you know, in my favor and that's it. And when I found that out, what happened is I was kind of confused. I said, God, I need help. How many, anybody ever throw a 30-second prayer out to God or less? You know, you just throw one of those prayers. God, I really need help. I really do. And, you know, I think I was on the, I can still remember it. I was on this sidewalk. And I just said, Lord, I really need help. I don't know why I don't understand, but I'm not getting this. Send me help. And so I'd gone down to this coffee house that was present. And we would go out in the street and witness a lot of times. And I went down there and we had been out witnessing and came back. And this particular guy came in, and I don't know why, I just started talking to him. You know, I found out he's going to have church in the morning there. And I said, oh, that's interesting, you know. And he was just, had come in to clean up because they used the same building that they used as a coffee house. Well, they got popcorn and coffee, and they didn't clean up real great sometimes. So there'd be cups sitting around and napkins. And he really said, you know, I mean, in his heart, he wanted to just be with the Lord for a while that night and was going to pray most of the night. And But he felt like he should go down and pick it up because he knew they weren't going to do a very good job, unfortunately, from experience. So he went down. He'd come down. And so he was picking some things up. So I'm helping him. I just start talking to him. I don't know why I said it to him even. I just start talking about the Holy Spirit. Just, well, you know, some people pray in tongues, some don't. And he says, well, give me a scripture. Well, you know, in Acts 2, it said in one place there that they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness, you know. He says, well, we don't know that that's not the same people, which if you read it in context, it's the same people that just spoke in tongues. But anyway, he said, but I'll give you that one, give me another one. And of course, there's the famous verse in 1 Corinthians 14 where, you know, Paul's trying to explain to them the difference, you know, of using a gift of tongues in a service. You know, he said, do all in a service speak in tongues? No, not everyone gives a tongue. Okay, I'll give you that one. Give me another one. Of course, I'm fresh out of scriptures. You know, there aren't any more that I know of. I mean, if you find one, let me know. But anyway, there could be one, but I haven't found it. So I remember him talking to me, and to be honest, I don't really remember everything he said. I just remember it sounded like it came straight from heaven to me. And I got to the front of that church. It was probably here to that wall, maybe a little more, you know, just a small church, small area where they were going to have church. And I put my face in the carpet and I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I see the truth. I'm sorry, Lord. I was wrong. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you for forgiving me. And I just cried out to God and I began to weep. And about, I don't know, 3-5 minutes maybe, I got up and he was gone. I don't know where he went, so I walked outside. There he was. He's in his car. In this car, and this guy's giving him a ride. And he says, "Would you like to come to my apartment? We're going to have all night prayer." You know, I'm young. I was just a youngster, so you know, like some of these guys. You know, not him. Well, he's a little bit older, but you know, I was maybe early 20s. You know, 21 or two, something like that. This brother, I know he's like 30 something, but. Anyway, he's old, you know. But I'm proud of these young people. I really am. I thank God for every one of them. Hallelujah. But anyway, he invited me over to go pray. And I went over there, and I didn't know they're going to pray in tongues. So I said, well, we're just going to pray in tongues. And I just kind of said, okay, and started praying in tongues. You know, I'm like, okay, you know. I mean, I had prayed a couple syllables before, but nothing, you know, I didn't know I could keep praying. I had no idea. So we prayed in tongues, and I think I had a paper route at that time, which is a large part of my life, it seems like, but I had to go to work 3 o'clock or something, and we'd stop praying for a little bit, and we were just kind of talking, and I was trying to explain to somebody what happened when I prayed in tongues. I said, all I know is I was down here, and then I was up here. You know, that's about as far as I could really explain. But thank God, the Holy Ghost does take us from wherever we are and takes us up to another level in Him. Amen? In His presence, in His power, in His love, in His ability, in His strength, in His glory, in His grace, in His honor, in for His ability that flows to the earth, for His people that He wants to see born again. Amen? We want to see him born again, but don't you think our Father does? Our Father wants to see him well. He wants those miracles. He wants those things to happen. Jesus showed it to us in his word. Jesus said, have you been so long with you, Philip? Haven't you seen me? I've showed you the Father. Don't you understand yet? Remember when he said that to him, to the disciples? He says, have I been so long with you? I've been here. I mean, it wasn't that long. You know, we've been here longer than that for sure. You know, I mean, 3 years was, you know, three and a half years of Jesus' ministry. You know, he expected him to know some things. He expected Nicodemus. I mean, he said, tells him, don't you know, people got to be born again. The Messiah's coming. They've got to be changed. You must know something's got to happen. You know, so he was telling them who he was. Jesus had shared with them. They said, but he's saying he's equal to God. You know, they didn't have full revelation of it like we do, but they should understand, hey, this is the Messiah. I mean, Peter realized it by revelation, obviously. You know, he says, well, who am? Who do you say I am? You're the Son of the living God, Jesus. The anointed one, yeah, right. The anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah who was to come. But under that covenant, what? They were not free from sin fully. They were still conscious of sin. But the Bible says that the blood of Jesus purges even our consciousness from sin. We don't have to be conscious of this sin all the time. If you have a sin consciousness, you might need to think about truly being born again, or at least getting your mind renewed to the truth of God or who you are. Amen. Son of the living God. But Jesus showed them and showed us the will of the Father. Matthew 4:23. Let's look there for a minute. We've read these before, and we've heard other people here read them, but I want to set us in remembrance a little bit too about where God has taken us from, but where has he taken us to? We know we passed from darkness to light. We've received a new nature. We received the love of the Father. He said, my love is shed abroad in you in the heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, why doesn't it just instantly manifest? Because God wants us to become matured in him. We're not born full grown. Amen? We aren't. We're not born full grown Christians. And that's part of the answer. I'm not saying that's the whole answer, but that's a lot of it. And the other answer is we, Jesus even had to learn those things. He learned as a man. He had to learn the things, and the things that he went through. He learned the obedience to the Father. He allowed that Spirit to teach him. And we allow our new nature to teach us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. Where does he speak to us? Not in our mind, but in our heart, in our spirit, in the inner man. And Jesus showed us the will of the Father. That's why I'm saying, you know, you can have all of those things. Jesus said, here it is. Verse 23, what do you say? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4:23. Oh, that's not what I was reading, was it? Yeah, that's it. 23, okay, yeah. Let him hear. What's he saying? Let him hear with the ear of his heart. He's saying, let him hear, not just with your natural ears, but let it go into your spiritual man, into your heart. Hear it. Really listen, in other words. He's saying, listen up. He that's got ears to hear, hear. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken that which he hath. Hallelujah. And he said, the kingdom of God, as if a man, he talked about if a man should cast seed into the ground. So he's talking about the kingdom of God coming, what? As a seed. He said, listen, you're not born full grown. It doesn't come in a full grown measure, but it does come in a seed. But within the seed, we know is the image. Most trees that are 20 years old are pretty big. If they're really, you know, just, you know, they say, well, how did that happen? They continued to drink the water. They were got the nutrients from the soil, continue to put the roots down. They continue to press in. And what are we doing? We're continuing to stay in the presence of the Father, continuing to abide with him. And as we abide with him, then the truth comes, the direction comes, the understanding comes, the nurturing comes. That seed begins to grow. That person begins to mature. That person begins to understand. He said, as by reason of use, we exercise ourselves unto godliness. We use exercises, prayer, worship, meditating the word, confessing the word of God, speaking it out of our mouth. Well, what do I say? He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Why did you say that one? Because that's one of the first ones I learned. I found out I wasn't that sinner saved by grace, but I was made righteous. It was a gift that came to me when I got born again, and I'm no longer bound to sin. And when someone told me, you just think you're so righteous, I didn't know what to say. So finally I said, I am. I am righteous. Hallelujah. I said it to myself first. I mean, I didn't say it to them like that. I was kind of, I wouldn't dare quite say it that strong to them, because I was still kind of looking, like Gary said, I'm still kind of looking for those lightning bolts. I am righteous, but, you know, hold on. I didn't get struck that time, praise the Lord. But I kept saying it and kept saying it and believing it. He made us that way. And that righteousness began to grow from a seed into a greater tree until it was could produce fruit. The fruit of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. It begins something that's planted in our life. And nobody can take it from you. Once you understand the Word of God, when you get understanding and revelation of the Word of God, they can't beat it out of you. Nobody can. I don't care how much they go. You know it's true. You know it's true. And it's not fakeness. It's the truth. It becomes a part of you, of who you really are. And so when the devil lies to you, you made that mistake. You lied to your third grade teacher. You remember. You do remember that, don't you? That was, you know, who was that? That was Mrs. Dolph. You lied to her. Why did you lie to her? He's the accuser of the brethren. Now, I'm using that because I'm telling you, the devil brings pictures to you. You're praying in tongues and he comes to tell you, you know, all the things you done wrong. You missed it here. 10 years ago, you should have done that. And 15 years ago, you should have done that. And you didn't do this. And you forgot that. And you yelled at so-and-so. And, you know, and suddenly all the things that you weren't remembering, you forgot. He brings to your remembrance. I don't know what it is. I mean, I thought, gee, whoo. I mean, I'm telling you, you can get praying sometimes and you're pressing in and the enemy's going to come. He's going to come with a thought. Why? Because it starts with a thought. That's how sin begins. What you think about is what you ultimately become. That's why Joshua, he said, if you meditate in that word, what? Day and night. God says, meditate in it day and night that you may what? That's how you become successful. When we're meditating in it day and night, that you may observe to do. What is the key between doing, you know, and hearing? It's meditation. What are you thinking about? Are you meditating about it? Are you thinking about it? Hey, you know what? If I don't think about prayer, I usually don't pray. Well, brother, I like to get in the spirit before I start praying. Well, you know what? I always start right in the flesh, right here. My own self. I start right here in the flesh. Did you feel anything? Not for the first hour. You know? But, you know, after a while, you know, you can enter in pretty quickly. And most of you can tell that devil to shut up, get out of here. And most days, you can get him out at least within an hour, you know. Sometimes it takes longer. Amen. Sometimes it's the second hour. Sometimes it's the third hour. So, well, how many hours did you pray? Well, you know, as many as I believe God was leading me to. Just kept praying until I quit. Could be 10, could be 12, could be more some days. But we pray until. We believe until. We speak the word of God until the answer is through. We're finished. Because a lot of times what I'm finding is I believe, as believers, we quit too soon. We're on the verge of getting somewhere. We're just about there. We've almost got it. I'm seeing it in my life right now. I'm almost there. I can sense it. I know there's some things just about to happen. And I know there's times that's what I don't want to quit. We don't want to quit now. It's just about there. And there's things in our own lives sometimes we're believing, we're speaking the word of God, and we just finally decide, well, it's been 3 years, you know, 4 years, 10 years, 20 years, Lord, it's been 50 years. Maybe it's been 75 years. But it's something that God put in your heart. Don't stop speaking. Don't stop believing. Don't quit now. Don't grow weary in well doing. Continue to sow to the Spirit and we shall reap. You're going to have what you say. Your words are going to take you to that place in Him. If He said it, you say it. If God's word declared it, you declare it. I like to get myself like, usually about 4 or 5 scriptures, you know, in certain subjects. The reason is because I like to get all the scriptures. I'm not saying that. And I'll go over some of the others, but I like to find those 4 or 5 that speak to my heart, that really mean something to me. Why? Because I can have those 4 or 5 at my hand all the time. You know, there's one for every finger. Devil, get out of here. I said now. I said now. I said now. Go! Amen. Because this is what God's word said. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I've overcome sin. He always causes me to have victory in Christ. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in Christ Jesus. I have already won. Do you understand me? He's a little hard of hearing sometimes. Amen. It's not so much Him, but our soul. You know, sometimes I'm not telling you have to yell at the devil, but sometimes you need to raise your voice for your own soul's sake. Hey, I'm getting a little more intense. Anybody ever had an argument with somebody? You know, and you say something, pretty soon you're both getting a little louder, and maybe you're arguing about something in the Bible. Well, I'm telling you, this is what it means. Oh, I said this, you know. Pretty soon it's, you know, somebody else's fault, you know. No, that's your fault. No, it's your fault. You know, and arguments sometimes intensify, you know. But the devil, he's a liar. I'm not saying we have to yell at him, but we have to know that truth on the inside of us to such a degree. And sometimes when the soul is speaking to you so loud, how many know if you're thinking on something and you start going, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. What happens to your thoughts? What happens to those thoughts? Try it. Start counting. I want us to try this. I want everybody in your mind, just start counting to 10, 1 through 10. And when I tell you, we're all going to say hallelujah, okay? Start counting. Hallelujah! Now, say it. Hallelujah! Speak it out. Okay, who's still counting in their mind? Anybody still counting in their mind? Anybody? You can stop your thoughts. You can stop the thoughts of the devil. And you can stop your own thoughts. He wants you to think they're your thoughts. That's what He wants you to believe. If we really understand, we're not ignorant of His devices. I'm telling you, the enemy's trying to come more right now. We're getting ready to enter fasting season. Gary might be teaching on fasting. I don't know, but hallelujah. It's coming. We know it's coming soon. It's a good time. Amen. We're getting ready to feast, you know. It's a good time to hear it. But anyway, but if you haven't heard it, get on the website and get the fasting series and get it down, because we're getting ready to move in. Amen. Press for the new year. Amen. Press a little bit harder. But anyway, point is, we can stop our thoughts. We don't have to think certain things. Everybody says, well, what do you think about that? I don't. What? You know, well, what do you think about what the president did? I don't. I just don't. What? I said, I don't. I don't think about it. I can't control that person, really. I mean, I pray for the person. I believe God. You know, somebody put on somewhere one time, I think it was on the Facebook or something. Don't we just wish for the destruction of... No, I don't. Why? Because I spent too much time praying for that person, and I believe God heard me. And He's working, and He's crying out mercy in their behalf. Why do you wish ill on your enemy? They're bound to sin. They can't help but sin. They're broken. They don't know Him. Some of them say they do. That's what I'm talking about. They're so blinded they don't even know they don't know Him. How are we going to show Him to them? Jesus did. Jesus said, I come to show the Father. He had show and tell. Hallelujah. All the time. Anybody ever been to show and tell? I mean, we're still in the kindergarten phase, folks. Show and tell is kindergarten, right? First grade, maybe. Maybe second or third, too. But, you know, you have show and tell time. Hallelujah. Did I read the right verse? I did, didn't I? Huh. All right. Praise the Lord. Oh, Matthew 4. Let's go. Did I say Matthew or Mark earlier? I said Matthew 4, didn't I? And I read Mark, but I got Mark, and that's good. I got to the thoughts. We got it in there. I do have that one down here, but I didn't. I meant to go to Matthew 4 because we were talking about Jesus showing the will of the Father. Amen. There's one place. And Jesus went about all Galilee. Hallelujah. Teaching in their synagogues. Jesus was the preacher of the day. We got to see him for who he was. Sometimes I don't think we always grasp that. You know, he was one of the preachers of the day. He's one of the teachers. He went out about teaching. You know, he didn't just walk in. I'm sure they'd heard him before. You know, he goes in the synagogue and went about teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I'm doing a little preaching today, teaching and preaching. But I know this is the teaching class, but I get a little excited sometimes. And I don't apologize. I like it. Hallelujah. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of dis-ease among the people. Do you have any dis-ease in here? Let's run it off. Jesus came to heal your dis-ease. I just don't feel so good today. I'm just kind of depressed. I'm diseased. I'm diseased, you know, as in easy, you know. It's not so easy for me right now, and so I'm diseased. And we understand. Sometimes there's days like that. My mama told me there'd be some of those. And she told me adjust my attitude. And I better adjust my attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. I had a good mama. It said, and his fame went about. But we're talking about sicknesses. I understand that. But Jesus did cast out the devil, people that were tormented in the mind. Amen. And brought healing to them. I remember one day there was all these, the people from, the, I guess it was the day center. And many of them have mental illness. I'm thinking, Lord, who's going to get these people free? You are. You are. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. You know, we are. Who else is? If they're in our presence, if they came to you, then you are. Amen. That's right. Because somebody else can't. They're not there. Now, Jesus is going to help you. The Holy Spirit's going to empower you. But you're going to set them free. Amen. With the truth of the word. By what? Going about teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse, I mean, it's just different diseases and torments. And those that were possessed with devils and those which were lunatic and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And they came unto Tulsa, for they heard about the great things the Lord was doing through the men there and the women there. And they came from Norman, from Oklahoma City, and from Bartlesville, and from Kansas City, and from beyond, that they might receive a touch from God. Because the power of the Lord was present to heal. Because the power of God was present to be made known to all men. Because the power of God was in show and tell. Hallelujah. We're telling you Jesus healed you, and we're getting ready to help you receive it right now. Would you just believe a little bit that the healing power of God will come into you when we touch you? Hallelujah. And I believe there's going to be people healed even coming into the building. Amen. Why wait to the end of the service if you're hurting and in pain? Amen. Get well and hear and enjoy the service with us. Glory to God. Could you see it? Miracles all over the place. Hallelujah. Before we have teaching, what are they running and screaming about? Hallelujah. Oh, that blind, that whole blind section. Boom. God just opened their eyes. Well, who touched? I don't know. It just happened. God just came. You know, when you get so many people, you know, you're not going to lay hands on all of them. It's not going to happen. That's one way to receive. Usually that's like one-on-one, you know, or a few people, you know. When you got, I'm telling you, I've been to see the crowd of 4,000, you know. I mean, you may be able to get through that, but it's going to take you a while. You know, you get 10, 20, 30,000 people, you don't want to start laying hands because you got to lay hands on all of them because it's not fair. So don't do that. What do? Blind see, deaf hear, maimed behold, dead get up, almost dead rise. Hallelujah. If you need practice, come to Calling in the Lost tonight at 7 o'clock and we'll show you how to do it. You can practice. Amen. Dead man, get on up. But we're all dead raisers. Amen. Number one, to go from spiritual death to spiritual life. The first one, the greatest of all miracles, the most important thing, is that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Amen. We know that, you know, somebody told me, well, you know, well, that's just temporary. Well, it's all temporary. Jesus is coming again. This is all temporary. Everything we receive is going to be temporary. You know, but I need those temporary things right now. I don't need them in heaven. Amen. You need a new car right now, right? Maybe you need a job, but you don't need it in heaven. You need it right now. So you can live in this world to produce what? The gospel. Bring the gospel to man. Bring the good news. That's what we're witnessing about, who Jesus really is. Who is he? He's the miracle worker. He's the great teacher. He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. The one that will give you power. The one who will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. See, we've got a lot of things we've learned in this church. Some people have been here quite a while. Some haven't. But most people in the U.S. have learned enough, I'm telling you, to get a lot of people saved, to have revival somewhere, at least in this church and other churches. You know, people have revivals. How many know when you teach people, we're to teach, the Bible says in Timothy, we can teach those that are faithful men who can teach others also. So that truth keeps going. Right now, Alan's in what, Brazil? Teaching men, faithful men, that they may teach others also. That truth begins to grow them up. And they say, oh, I want to share that with my friends. Amen. Don't you? You get excited, don't you, about the Word of God? If you don't, then read Psalm 119. Let's see. Yeah. I think it's 119. Yeah, read that for a while. It's a big psalm. A lot of it's about the Word of God. Just start putting that in your mouth. Psalm 119. Thy word, Lord, I hid my heart. I might not sin against you, Lord. Your word is like honey to my lips. It's honey to me. It's alive to me. It's real to me. And if it's not, you keep speaking it till it becomes real to you. Because the only reason it's not real to you, because it's old to you. You let it get moldy. And it stinks. Amen. Come on now. The Word of God, we think, well, it doesn't really get old. I mean, it just lies dormant, basically. I shouldn't say old and moldy, but it lies dormant. It's still full of power. It's still in you. But you got to give life to it. Got to begin to speak it. Because we have what we say. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm going to Calling the Lost now. Now, we went from born again to Calling the Lost all in one service. Well, but anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But we see right here in this passage where Jesus was showing the will of the Father. And that's what I was talking about. Even though we do have to have ears to hear. And how we hear is important. Because I've mentioned doctrine earlier, or teaching. The truth, basically, is what we're saying. What is the truth? You know, well, I talked to some people and they said, well, we just don't believe that. I said, well, this is what the Bible says. Show them in the Bible. Well, we just don't believe that. Our book that man wrote doesn't say that. Our church says this. Well, are you going to believe your church, which is good. I'm not coming against any church. But are you going to believe the church? You're going to believe the Bible. What God said. That word is God speaking to you and me. And if it's not in the Bible, I'm sorry, it's not God. Well, the Holy Spirit told me. If it don't line up with the Bible, the Holy Spirit did not tell you. He didn't tell you. Either you made it up in your own mind, or a demon came and told you that, or some other person told you that who didn't know. You know, you learned it some other way. Amen. I'll smile. But that's what Jesus did. He went about doing good, right, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And I've got more scriptures, but I'm going to stop right there. It's almost 9:30. I'd like us to stand for a moment, and I hope you remember this morning some of the things. I'm just going to recap real quickly here, just some things that we touched on, that it's important what we believe. It's important that we believe the Bible. Amen? There's a whole bunch of people in the world, you know, and if we don't have the Bible, we've got our nature, and we can pray in tongues. You know, there's people that don't have Bibles, but they can pray in tongues. And that is one inoculation against unbelief, because your spirit begins to become alive and it begins to witness to you the truth and the untruth. I remember David Hogan was talking about there's some people that he had gotten born again. They didn't even know the Bible, but they were having drought. And he says, they called him over and said, now, God said he'll do anything, right? Is that what the book says? He'll do anything? I just got that. Yeah, he'll do anything, whatever you ask. All right, so he began giving him water and all this. Well, where are we going? We're going up to the field, because we're going to go walk around that field, and we're going to command that thing to grow. And it did. It was total drought, no water, but their produce began to just blossom. I mean, just overabundance. And they began to share with their neighbors. Well, why do you do that? Oh, so we can lead them to Jesus. That's why they wanted to do it. So they have enough, which God does supply enough for you, but he also supplies for others, amen? And that's where we're going, that our tree would mature to the place that we are fully matured in him. So let's not quit. Let's not grow weary in doing well, amen? But let's just praise God. Lord, we worship you and magnify you as we go into the next service. And Lord, just bless our fellowship, bless our words, Lord. Put a watch on our lips, Father, that we would speak only right things, Father. That we would hear and speak your word, Father, and bring forth your will in the earth, Lord, for our own lives and those around us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.